Now we're going to read the scriptures this morning from the book of Daniel. It's chapter number 6. We'll read from the first verse of the chapter, Daniel 6, verse number 1. A very familiar part of Old Testament story. Anybody that's been brought up in Sunday school or children's meetings or a Christian home will know well the circumstances concerning Daniel and the den of lions. And we're going to be looking at this wonderful scene in God's Word this morning. So it's Daniel chapter 6, and let us read the Word of God together from verse number 1. Follow along with us as we consider the truth of God together. Daniel chapter 6, reading from the first verse. The Word of God records, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these, 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault for as much as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree which thou hast signed, but maketh up his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thy service continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, and the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. We'll just end there at verse 23 of this familiar portion of God's precious and inspired word, and we know that the Lord will bless his truth to all of our hearts as he sees fit for his own name's sake. Hebrews chapter 11, we're looking just again at verse number 33, considering the faith of Daniel. I hope you could all make me out this morning. I've got a little bit of a sniffle, or man flu, as my wife calls it, and just a common cold, and I'm a little bit bunged up, so I hope you can make me out okay, and we trust the Lord will bless us as we consider his word this morning. Hebrews 11, verse number 33. We've been going through this portion of God's word, this precious chapter, looking at some of the men and women of faith in the Old Testament. And it says in verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions. Who through faith stopped the mouths of lions. Let us unite our hearts together and ask the Lord for his help and for the anointing of his Spirit upon the preaching and hearing of his word. Our God and our Father, we rejoice today that thy word is truth. We thank thee that the entrance of thy word, it brings light, it brings life, and it brings liberty. And O God, we pray today that thou wilt, our Lord, write thy word upon our hearts. Grant, O God, today to this earthen vessel the infilling and the anointing of thy Spirit. Hide me behind the cross, Lord, and let my name perish and be forgotten. But bring all glory and all honor and all praise to the name of thy Son. Speak, O God, to every heart and to every life. Pray for some today, Lord, that are facing trials and adversity. Lord God, perhaps are overcome by a spirit of fear. We pray in the Savior's name that thou wilt grant, O God, that they might have that mustard seed faith, O God, that can remove mountains. Grant, O God, that thy name will be honored and glorified. And Lord, let us hear thy speaking voice. We pray in the Savior's name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. It has often been assumed that God's servant Daniel has been omitted from faith's hall of fame from Hebrews chapter 11 because he's not mentioned there by name. And for some that poses a problem because whenever you're asked the question, who is the greatest man of faith in the Old Testament? Some would maybe make mention to Abraham. Some would make mention to Elijah. But certainly many would make mention to Daniel, the great man of faith who spent over 70 years in Babylon and blazed a trail for God and for that period of time had an unblemished testimony. And there's no doubt that Daniel was a man of faith, but he's not mentioned by name in Hebrews chapter 11. But I believe he's certainly mentioned by inference in verse number 33. Because speaking of the great men and women of faith, it says that through faith some of them subdued kingdoms. We've made mention of that already. They wrought righteousness. They obtained the fulfillment of God's promises. And then we have this little phrase that they stopped the mouths of lions. Now God's servant David stopped the mouths of lions whenever a lion came and a bear came to take a little lamb out of the flock. David, under God, was able to deliver the lamb from the mouth of the lion. And so it was with Samson. He wrestled the lion with his bare hands. But whenever we think of Daniel, he stands out as a man who, by faith, stopped the mouths, not just of one lion, but of a whole den of lions. Under God, he saw the mouths of the lions closed, so that they didn't bite him, they didn't even roar or rage against him. And so we know that, yes, Daniel was a man of faith, and I believe that this little phrase reminds us of the faith of Daniel. Now, Daniel spent most of his life in Babylon. He was taken captive there as a teenager. And Daniel spent over 70 years in Babylon. In fact, by the time that we get to Daniel chapter 6, Daniel is a man who is well into his 80s, perhaps even approaching his 90th year. And the scene in Daniel chapter 6 is a well-known scene, and of course it's alluded to here in Hebrews 11 verse number 33. Daniel was next to the king in power. We're told in Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 1 that King Darius set over his kingdom 120 princes. And then over that little group of 120 princes, he had a smaller group of just three presidents. And because an excellent spirit was found in Daniel, Daniel was given the job of being the first or the prime minister in Babylon, next in line to the king. And so we have a wonderful picture here of who Daniel is, of what his job was, of what age he was, and we see as Daniel chapter 6 progresses, this great godly statesman, well stricken in years, being led captive into the den of lions. And it certainly was a trial of faith. That age, with that kind of testimony, with that kind of lifestyle, to be pure in the eyes of the Lord and in the eyes of the world, to be cast into a den of lions, his faith was unblemished, and what a trial it was. And every single one of us this morning, we all face our trials. Maybe this morning that unknown to anybody in this meeting, you yourself are facing a trial. It might be a financial trial, it might be an emotional trial, it might be a physical trial concerning your health. It might be a trial within your family. It might be a trial in the workplace. It might even be a trial of faith. And the devil has been attacking you and accusing you and trying to get your eyes off the Lord. And it's like this morning, you're staring into the den of lions and you're maybe this morning filled with fear. And yet Daniel proved victorious because Daniel proved his God. And so this morning, we're just very simply going to consider the faith of Daniel. Three things about Daniel's faith. First of all, it was faith that got him into the den of lions in the first place. It was faith that kept him in the den of lions. And it was also faith that got Daniel out of the den of lions. So first of all, let's consider Daniel's faith that got him cast into the den of lions in the first place. Daniel's faith did not keep him out of a difficult and a trying situation. Sometimes you have the idea that if her faith is strong and her faith is grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love and her faith is biblical and we keep our eyes upon the Lord, that in so doing we will be able to avert difficult and trying circumstances and situations in life, and we'll be able to weave our way past all adversity and past all difficulty, and our faith will never be tried, and we'll never find ourselves in difficult and in unpleasant situations. That is not the case. If Daniel did not have faith, Daniel would not have been cast into the den of lions, but rather Daniel's faith in God got him cast into the den of lions in the first place. You say, well, how did it happen? Well, you'll notice, first of all, that there was a conspiracy in the parliament. A conspiracy in the parliament. As we've said already, the parliament consisted of 120 princes, three presidents. Daniel was promoted to the role of prime minister because of his character. It says in verse number 3, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. King Darius looked at Daniel and knew that Daniel is a man that I can trust. I might not agree with his religious convictions, I might not believe in the God that Daniel serves, but I certainly believe in Daniel. Daniel is a man that I can trust. Daniel has never been found to be untrustworthy. He's never been proved to be immoral. But rather, there's an excellent spirit in Daniel. He's a man of morality. He's a man of ability. And he's also a man of integrity. So Darius could trust Daniel. And I really believe today that Christians ought to be good employees. I'm not saying that a Christian has to be the most gifted or talented employee, but certainly a Christian ought to be a trustworthy employee. An employer ought to be able to look at a Christian and say, well, there's a man or there's a woman that I can trust. They're not going to tell lies. They're not going to be disloyal. They're not going to cheat. They're not going to steal. They're not going to cause friction in the workplace over issues that are not important. And so Daniel knew that he could serve Darius faithfully, and Darius knew that he could trust Daniel to be faithful in his place of employment. But then there was this conspiracy within the parliament. The 120 princes and the other two presidents, they rose up to conspire against Daniel. Why did they do this? What was their mandate? Well, their mandate very simply was to destroy Daniel by having him cast into the den of lions. Isn't it strange how these 122 men hated Daniel so? Daniel had never caused any problems for them. Daniel was a man that was pleasant to work with. He was highly esteemed in Babylon. And yet all these men seemed to despise Daniel and seemed to conspire against him. He'd never done them any harm, but he'd showed them kindness. And so it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. He came into this world, and his words were full of kindness. His deeds were upright. He ministered to sick people. He healed the lame. He raised the dead. He sought to better the conditions that people found themselves in by presenting the claims of the gospel to them. He wanted them to be set free. He wanted them to be at liberty. He wanted to deliver them from religiosity and from superstition. And he wanted to bring them into the light and to the liberty of the gospel. And yet what did this world do to him? They conspired against him to have an innocent man crucified, and they just simply hated him because of the purity of his lifestyle. He was holy. He was harmless. He was undefiled. He was separate from sinners. He was made higher than the heavens. And yet the prophet Isaiah could say he was despised and rejected of men. And we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. And maybe this morning you do the same. You're not a Christian. You're in church, but you're not in Christ. And there's nothing in Christ's character or words or life that you can point your finger at and say, that is the reason that I'm not a Christian, because life was impeccable. But somehow you just have a mandate that you want to live your own way without this influence in your life. That was their mandate, to destroy Daniel. But what was their motive? Why did they want to destroy Daniel and have him cast into the den of lions? Well, I believe it's because Darius preferred him because of his excellent spirit, and that resulted, because of their fallen nature, in jealousy and envy and spite against this man, Daniel. Plain and simple, they were just jealous of Daniel. Now, it's said concerning the Lord Jesus Christ that even Pilate, whenever he was delivered unto Pilate by the Pharisees and by the scribes, the Bible says that Pilate knew for envy that they had delivered the Lord into his hands. And jealousy and envy and bitterness is something that eats up many people in this society in which we live. Sadly, even many professing Christians are destroyed by jealousy and by envy and by bitterness. And I wonder today if you're here in this meeting and you've got something against a brother or sister in Christ. I wonder what your motive is for having something against them. And I suppose the best way to try and answer that question is to ask ourselves, is it purely for God's glory? Does my attitude against somebody else, another believer perhaps, does it glorify God? Does it honor the Lord Jesus Christ that I don't speak to such and such a person? Does it honor the Savior that I'm bitter against a brother or sister in the Lord? Because God's honor and God's glory is at stake. You know, it's so sad in these days to see God's people often at enmity against one another. And literally cutting the tripe out of each other, maybe even on the internet. Bringing all the dirty washing out for the world to see and we somehow think that we're taking a great stand for the Lord if we do such a thing. Well, their motive was just bitterness, jealousy, and envy. Their mandate was to destroy Daniel. What was their means? How are they going to do this? Well, very simply, they drew up a decree and they took it to King Darius and they went to the king and they flattered the king and they says, "Oh, King Darius, live forever." In other words, Darius, you're the greatest king that has ever reigned upon a throne in Babylon. And oh, Darius, we would just love it if you were to reign forever and forever and forever. And oh, Darius, we just think so much of you. And you know, Darius, you should really draw up a decree that nobody can be worshipped or praised or even entreated except you. You're so important. You're above all the kings of the earth. And you're above all the kings of heaven, and you're higher and greater than any god. And you know, Darius, wouldn't it be wonderful, even if it was just for 30 days, if nobody would talk about any king or any god apart from you? Wouldn't that make you feel good, Darius? And so they went to the king, and they drew up this decree, and of course, Daniel, he wasn't even consulted. He didn't know that it was going to happen. So it all happened behind closed doors, and they flattered Darius. And whenever Darius was flattered, his judgment was clouded and he signed the decree without thinking. I don't know if you've ever met a flatterer. But flatterers always have ulterior motives. Now, there's nothing wrong with paying somebody a compliment. There's nothing wrong with trying to encourage somebody. Credit where credit is due. That it's good and it's right to encourage one another. To compliment one another, to express thanksgiving, and so on and so forth. But a flatterer is a person who will say something to your face, but will not say the same thing behind your back. A gossip is a person who will say something behind your back, but will not say it to your face. And you know, I'm sure we've all met flatterers. The Bible says that a flatterer, he flatters his neighbor with his mouth, but he spreads a net for his feet. Always an ulterior motive. And you know, I've had people trying to do the same to me. They flatter you and then they can stick the knife in your back just as you turn around. And it can be very, very easy to be caught off guard by the flatterer. And so it was with Darius. And so you see the conspiracy in the parliament. But you also notice the carnality of their plan. It was completely carnal. Well, how are we going to get this fella Daniel? How are we going to remove him? How are we going to get him off the scene? Let's trace his life. 70 years in Babylon. Has he ever did anything immoral? No, we can't find anything. Has he ever told a lie? No, he hasn't. Has he ever been disloyal to the king? No, he hasn't. Has he ever stolen anything? No, he hasn't. We'll check his tax affairs. Is there anything wrong there? No. And they went through his life with a fine-tooth comb until at last they says, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." So it was completely carnal. Let's try and get him in something spiritual. Let's try and eradicate this man's religion and his faith and his God out of our society, and let's have done with it. And let's just get rid of Daniel. Wouldn't it be wonderful if it could be said of every Christian, as it was said of Daniel in verse 5, "We'll not find any occasion against this person, except it's concerning his God." If the world could look at us and say, you know, that person's life is blameless. They're flawless, in a sense, as far as their conduct and their conversation and their behavior is concerned. And in the workplace and in the home and in the community, they're just living for God, but so often it's not the case. And so this little parliament, they were out to destroy Daniel, to try and destroy his faith in God. And there are forces at work today that are out to destroy the child of God. But I think they knew that Daniel wouldn't compromise. And so you see as well the constancy of the prophet. Look at verse number 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. He didn't go to Darius, the king. He didn't call for the parliament to meet together and stand up and defend his rights and say, you know something? You have all drawn up this decree. I haven't even been consulted. And that is a violation of democracy. He didn't do that. He didn't run to the king and say, well, the king's the one that signed the letter. Maybe I can get him to change it. He didn't do that. But he went into the closet, into the secret place, and he sought the face of the Lord, his God. He went to God. He maintained his separation. He continued to live on in the presence of God. You know, he didn't take the idea, well, you know, this decree, it's not a religious thing. This decree's purely political, so it doesn't affect my faith. It doesn't affect my religion. It's different. And I have a duty to put Darius first. He realized, well, I have to honor Darius, but above that, I have to honor the Lord. And so he maintained his separation. He also maintained his sanctification. He didn't lose control. He didn't lose his temper. He didn't storm around in a rage and say, nobody spoke to me and I've been left out and you know, my character's been called into question and my liberties have been taken away from me. He just maintained his sanctification, but he also maintained his supplication, it says there. He went into his house, notice the windows being opened. He didn't go into his house, as we sometimes hear, and open the windows and say, well, I'm just going to have a brass neck and I'm going to open the windows of my house now and I'm going to start praying just to stand against this law that's been passed. He didn't do that. He went back to his house because that morning his windows had been opened to Jerusalem and he had been in the place of prayer. And so all he's doing is he's maintaining his prayer life. He's maintaining his prayer life as he did aforetime. This was the habit of a lifetime. You see, for many of us, if this law had been passed, we would maybe begin to pray just to try and oppose that legislation, but that wouldn't be the right motive, would it? But he's just maintaining his prayer life. He would rather spend a night with the lions than spend a day without God and without prayer. Now, it says in verse number 7 that the decree was to last for 30 days. Wouldn't it have been easy for Daniel to say, well, I could live without prayer for a month? Many Christians do. But very easy for Daniel to say, well, for 30 days I'll close the window and I'll turn out the light and I'll pray under the cover of darkness and nobody has to see. But no, Daniel's a man of consistency. He has been all of his life and he's just going to be consistent now. And Daniel would rather die than stop praying. Somebody once says, we do not pray in order to live the Christian life, but we rather live the Christian life in order to pray. And still, three times a day, Daniel continued his prayer life. And again, that reminds me of the Savior. Because in the Garden of Gethsemane, we read that three times the Lord fell upon his face and prayed to his Father which was in heaven. And the next day, he would be crucified because of his excellent spirit. And so it was with Daniel. Three times this day he prayed, and the next day he would be thrown into the den of lions. You see, friends, today, the most important part of a believer's life is what we are before God. The part that God sees, that's the most important thing. But now people are looking at Daniel. You know, we often quote that verse from the book of Numbers, be sure your sin will find you out, and that's true. But we could say concerning Daniel, be sure your sanctification will find you out. If you're living a life that's pure and sanctified and Christ-like and God-honoring, that will find you out. People will see that and that will ultimately be discovered. The report came then to the king that Daniel was still praying. And his faith got him cast into the den of lions and his faith kept him in the den of lions. Now these were real hungry lions. Lions that were vicious, lions that were hungry, lions that had teeth, you know. I remember hearing there was an old man that lived in Belfast for many years who was known locally as Buck Alec. Some of you might have heard of him. And the legend was, and I think it's true, that he kept a lion in his back garden in a cage. I used to speak at a little church in Belfast. I usually go back once a year, and there's a man that does the doors there, and he says, I live next door, or my house backed on to Buck Alex's house, and he kept this lion in a cage, and he would take it out for walks, and he had this kind of stigma that he was a bit of a hard man. But the lion allegedly had no teeth. It was one of these old circus lions. It was old, it was weak, it was decrepit. It was just like a puppy dog, really. It had no teeth. But these weren't the sort of lions that Daniel was facing. They were real lions that were hungry, that had real teeth, and would literally tear you limb from limb. And they were hungry, and I'll tell you, that's scary. Somebody showed me a clip once on YouTube of these idiots that were out hunting in the desert and somewhere in Africa. And they were hunting for lions, and one saw a lion coming, and he shot at it, and he missed, and the lion knew what was happening, and it just ran towards this man, and while it was in the air, showing its teeth and its claws, one of his friends was able to shoot it, and just about keep his friend alive. If he'd missed as well, they'd have been in big trouble. These were ferocious lions. And furthermore, it says in verse 17, a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And that stone was sealed with the king's signet so that it was now tamper-proof. Whenever I worked in engineering, oftentimes they would have had, some of the engineers and the electricians would have had this, it was like a little tube of pink glue, and whenever they fixed something, they would put a little bit of this pink glue on the threads of a nut and bolt, and it was to tamper-proof it, so it was like a little seal, and if somebody came along and tried to fix it themselves, they would see that the seal had been broken and somebody had tampered with it, and that's what the king's signet was, so that nobody could tamper with this den, and they did the same with the Lord's tomb. They set a seal upon it and they set a guard round about it so that nobody could tamper with it. And you would know now that this den has become a very dark place for Daniel. We see artists' impressions of the den of lions. Well, if an artist had been in the den of lions with Daniel, he would have seen very little because this stone was placed over the door of the den of lions. And you know, I'm sure the lion's den, it usually sounded horrendous. You would hear the roaring lion, you would hear the screaming victim, you would hear flesh being torn apart and bones being crunched, but not this night. The lion's den is completely silent, maybe apart from Daniel. Maybe the only sound you could hear was Daniel snoring, and maybe the lions snoring as well. Maybe Daniel praying, or Daniel singing, or praising the God of heaven, using a lion's mane as a pillow, because the word of God says he giveth his beloved sleep. But the old King Darius, he wasn't sleeping. The Bible says in verse number 18, the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. He couldn't eat. Because he was thinking that at that current moment in time, his best employee, Daniel, was being eaten by the lions. And so it says in verse 19, the king rose very early in the morning, went in haste to the den of lions, and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice. You know, the first thing that Daniel heard all night, it wasn't the roar of a lion, but it was the lamentable cry of this distraught king who was at the end of his tether. And he says, is thy God able to deliver thee from the mouth of the lions? And Daniel says, my God is able. But even before he says that, you'll notice what he says in verse number 21. He says, O king, live forever. No, he honored the king. I sometimes think if Daniel had been from Northern Ireland, he would never have spoken to the king again. The stone would have been rolled away and Daniel would have stropped out in a bit of a huff. Says, you got me thrown in there illegally, unjustly. And he'd have marched away past the king and he'd have tried to get people onto his side. And there'd been a whole split, but he just says, oh, king, live forever. He still honored the king. He knew that the king was a sinner, blinded by the God of this world. And he had another opportunity now to prove his God. And he says, oh, king, live forever. My God, of course my God's able, because nothing is too hard for my God. And he gives the Lord the glory. Faith got him into the lion's den. Faith kept him in the lion's den, but faith got him out of the lion's den as well. Verse number 23, the king was exceeding glad and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. No manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. He had believed in God long before he was ever put in the den of lions. How often do we give ourselves to prayer only whenever we find ourselves in a difficult situation? But Daniel had been praying for 70 years. And so whenever this trial came along, it was just another thing to pray about. He didn't pray any more. He didn't pray any less. He just continued his prayer life. Daniel was delivered. And the conspirators, they were destroyed. It says in verse 24, the king commanded, and he brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them with their children and their wives. That was a pagan form of punishment. To not only destroy the perpetrator, but also their wives and their families. And so these men had effectively not only destroyed themselves in rebelling against God, but they had destroyed and damned their families also. How sad it is that people in this world, they do the same. They rebel against the God of heaven, not only destroying themselves, but robbing their family of the privilege of knowing the Lord as well. So Daniel was delivered. The conspirators were destroyed. But Darius, it says, was delighted. Verse 23, the king was exceeding glad. He got to keep his best man. And then righteousness was decreed. Verse number 26, Darius makes another decree, that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? You see, a nation was changed in a very short period of time because of just one man who honored the Lord. 124, if you count Darius, that had the oversight of the nation of Babylon. And out of them all, there was only one that trusted the Lord, and that was Daniel. And in one night, the king's heart was changed, and the next day a decree was drawn up that was to exalt righteousness again in the nation. And because of faith that stopped the mouths of lions, it was faith that opened the mouth of a king and opened the mouth of the people to praise and worship this God of heaven. What faith? The hymn writer said, dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm and dare to make it known. May God enable us today to be like Daniel and to put God first. We're going to sing some of the words of that hymn, number 554. Standing by a purpose true, heeding God's command, honor them the faithful few, all hail to Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. We'll stand together, we'll sing the last three verses, verses 2, 3, and 4 of number 554. Let's stand and sing with all of our hearts and make it the prayer of our lives. And let's consecrate ourselves afresh to the Lord to continue to pray, to stand up for the Lord and to honor his name. Come what may, and we know that the Lord will honor those who honor him. Verse 2, many mighty men are lost, daring not to stand. Verse 2 and the rest of the hymn.